Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ, and wishing you a happy and blessed Christmas holiday season. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you on this edition. The lines are wide open, and we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. If there's something you would like to talk about, a question you'd like to pose perhaps, give us a call, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're right in the middle of the Christmas season, as yes. You wrote this weekend for your In the Studio segment that you deliver every Saturday morning. Christmas season is in full stride, isn't it?
Indeed it is.
And one of the things that marks the Christmas season is joy. And that's part of the Christmas story. I love this in Luke where the angel appears to the shepherds and he says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." And we get to the end of Christ's life. So it's the birth of Jesus that was to cause great joy for all the people. Why? Because Jesus was going to save them from their sins. And as he gets to the end of his life, he has his high priestly prayer. It's one of the last things that he prayed. And we see in John chapter 17, verse 13, he says, "I am coming to you now." So Jesus is saying, "My time has come. I'm going to be glorified. I'm returning to where I came from to be with my Father at his right hand. But I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them." So at the beginning, when the angels announce the birth of Jesus, they say this announcement is going to be the cause of great joy for the people. Why? Because this Jesus is going to save his people from their sins. And then at the end of Jesus's life, we see that joy is still a part of the picture. It's a part of the equation that he wants his joy to be in us, and not just a little portion of it, but in full measure.
Yes.
He wants the full measure of his joy to be in us. And that's the mark of Christianity. And the reason it's the mark of Christianity is because it's the result of God's grace in our lives. So this word joy is kara. It's a rejoicing, a gladness, it's joy. It comes from a word that means to rejoice, which is all part of this word grace, charis. So when we're talking about joy, it is the result of God's grace in our lives. What do we know about Jesus? He is the one who is full of grace and truth. So when he enters into our world, when he enters into our lives, when he injects himself into our story, he himself is the cause for great rejoicing, for great joy in our hearts. His grace is what produces or brings joy and thankfulness to us. So if we're going to have joy in our lives, we have to get our eyes off of our circumstances. We have to get our eyes off of all the negative things that are out there in the world. Those do not cause great joy. Those do not bring thankfulness to our hearts. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why James could say, "Count it all joy, even when you're going through trials and tribulations of life." Why? Because the cause of joy is Jesus himself. And he is in your life. You are in his presence. That alone is joy, joy eternally. And that's good news.
I'll say that's good news. We'd like for you to share the good news, everybody, right now, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open, and we're here to address your question or your particular issue and take you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution in the person of Jesus Christ. And, you know, there is much joy along the pathway of the basic gospel journey. Why? Because it begins and ends with Jesus himself. In between is the life-changing truth of the new covenant, that we're no longer bound by rules and regulations, no longer living under a cloud of fear and guilt. In Christ, we begin a new life, a life of freedom, faith, and rest. The Basic Gospel Journey, that's a CD by Bob Christopher that will encourage your walk with Jesus and the adventure of a lifetime filled with the riches of his grace and the fullness of his life. The Basic Gospel Journey is our gift to you this month to say thank you for your donation to reach out to others with this good news of the gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and receive your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And thank you in advance for your support of Basic Gospel. Well, again, 844-322-2742, where the lines are wide open. Question from Dana Lind, who wrote to us from San Diego. She says, I enjoy your program very much. I started tuning in around the time that Robin Williams' suicide, and I understand God's grace after you had explained it to a listener. She says, I've been a believer since as long as I can remember. Why did it take so long to fully understand God's grace? Was it the Holy Spirit that revealed this to me? That's from Dana Lind in San Diego.
Well, it is the Holy Spirit that reveals these things to us. It's not something that we can come to through an academic exercise. It's not something that human logic would come up with. Why? Because our minds and our way of thinking before this grace is revealed to us is jaded by sin. Sin kind of shapes how we perceive God, how we think about God, how we think about ourselves. That's why we have such a distorted view of God. So God, in his mercy, his tenderness, his kindness, by his Spirit, opens up our hearts and minds to see the reality of this grace. So it is a revealed truth. It is not something that we can come to. As Paul said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, mind has not conceived of those things that God has freely given to us in Christ Jesus. But these things have been revealed to us by the Spirit. So it does take the work of God's Spirit to open up our minds. I think of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus.
Yes.
You know, Jesus comes up beside them, and they didn't recognize Jesus. And then he showed them, you know, the scars. And then it talks about the fact that their hearts were warmed within them, and that God, that Jesus himself had opened up their minds to what the Scriptures are all about. So it does take the revelation of the Holy Spirit for these truths to really sink in and become a reality in our lives. There's a lot of religious thinking out there, but that religious thinking isn't grace thinking. It isn't God thinking. It isn't Christian thinking. And we do need the power of God's Spirit to reveal these things to us. And a lot of times we're just not ready for it. You know, we're still prideful. We still think that we can, you know, we have the right stuff in us to please God. To make them look at us and say, "Wow, you're worthy," but we don't.
Good luck
with that. We don't have that. So we need to be humbled, and grace comes to those who have been humbled by life.
Yeah.
God gives grace to the humble, but resists the pride, and so we need that. And it's something that we've all been through, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And one of the things that she said made me think that perhaps she's being impatient with herself. Why did it take me so long? Wrong question. God doesn't deal with us in these eternal realities from a time standpoint. It was the right time for you when you understood. God knew that. He knew what he had to take you through to knock off the pride and the rough edges and to make sure that he and you were starting to communicate. Then the revelation kind of explodes. So never beat yourself up for the assumption that it should have taken me less time than it did. We're never done. So don't think about it in terms of time. Just be patient and let God lead you as he will.
Absolutely. And the other thing, too, about this question, and I think this is a really important point to make, is that today in our Western society, our Western culture, mm-hmm. we don't pay enough attention to the gospel as it has been revealed to us in the Word of God.
Yes.
We don't pay enough attention or give enough time to asking questions. What does it mean that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures? What does that mean? We speak it, we say it in a creed, we've memorized some stuff about the gospel, but we don't give it its due as far as thinking time within our own minds. And that's when the Holy Spirit can really start revealing truth to us.
Yeah.
So we need to pay attention to this gospel. We need to spend time. This is of first importance to God. This is what he's passed on to us, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is grace in its essence. That is grace in action. So it does us good. It does our hearts good. It does our minds good to pay attention to what this gospel message is. I know in many churches today, folks are walking away. They feel pretty good about themselves. So why? Because they've heard a feel-good message. But they haven't explored the depths of the grace of God. And there's a huge difference. We can feel good about ourselves, or we can have joy in our hearts. And there's only one message that's going to cause joy to happen in our hearts, and that is the message of God's love and grace. So we have those feel-good messages. Then we have the fire and brimstone messages. Yeah. Then we have the, hey, you need to do more, be better, all of those types of messages. And all of those totally miss the gospel.
Yes.
They miss the central issue. So sometimes we don't understand it because we've never been taught it. We've never been encouraged to explore the depth. So today, if you're listening to the Basic Gospel broadcast, whether you're listening to it live, whether you're going to listen to it later tonight, whether you're going to listen to it on our Basic Gospel app or at oneplace.com, however you get connected to the Basic Gospel radio broadcast, let me encourage you in 2017, or maybe even starting today, make it a priority. Make it your goal to explore the depths of the good news of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Ask the question, if Christ died for my sins according to the Scripture, what does that mean? What does the Bible teach about that? And what does it mean to me? If Christ was buried according to the Scriptures, what does it mean that he was buried? What place does that have as far as the gospel is concerned? And that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Make it a priority to dive deep into that gospel. I guarantee you it will absolutely transform your life, and you will recognize it as the very cause for joy and thankfulness in your heart. If you're struggling because you're not experiencing the joy of your salvation in the way that you think you should, I guarantee you it's because you've gotten your eyes off the gospel and onto a million different things. What your church tells you is important for you to do, or what your peer group tells you is important to do. And those things may be a mile away or a million miles away from what Jesus has done. So get your eyes on Jesus, and I guarantee you that joy will come back in full measure. His joy,
yes,
will fill the spaces of your heart and mind with his joy, and it'll be like being born again. I guarantee it.
And friends, if you would like, if you'd like us to be involved with your journey along that pathway, we would love to do that. You can give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to address any question or particular issue that you have going on right now in your life. 844-322-2742. As a matter of fact, that number is available 24 hours a day. If you would like to pose a question when we're actually off the air live, well, you can do that, and we'll be glad to address it soon on Basic Gospel. That number, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Thorndale, Texas, and talk to Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Clay.
How y'all doing today?
We're doing well. What's on your mind?
Hey, I could look this up. I could Google this, but that's usually a last resort with me. And I want to see what y'all have to say, because I know we deal with things in the same way. Luke 2 and other places where it talks about them going up to Mary and Joseph when she was heavy with child, going up to Bethlehem to be taxed. In King James, it says taxed. Other translations says to be to go for a census, to be counted. And that's what I'd always think. It was just kind of disturbing. I mean, not disturbing, but it's kind of strange when I read that taxing the other night in King James.
Well, I've always looked at it as a census, a counting. I'm sure you know, the way the Roman Empire was and the way, you know, Israel was as far as its importance to, you know, all three continents of that time. It was kind of the passageway that taxation was a part of anything that was decreed by
absolutely.
The government. But it certainly was a census. And Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So that was the counting. Richard, do you have any thoughts on that?
Not additional. I mean, it's, you know, the only reason a government ever counts people is so they know what kind of income they can expect through taxation. That's the whole point. It's been that way forever.
Well, come on, you're supposed to have more than that. Come on.
Hey, and things haven't changed, have they?
No.
No, they haven't. They have not. I mean, any time a government can figure out a way to get more money in, they're probably gonna do that.
Yeah.
And back in those days, you know, you had the tax collectors, they were in the back pockets of the Roman government. They were despised by the Jewish people. They were despised by anybody because they were setting up and taxing people coming in and going out, and they were robbing people basically, and that's just the way it was back then. But the reason for this was a census to register the people, and so everybody went to their hometowns where their roots were to register. And I think that was the story. That's what moved Mary and Joseph from Nazareth, from the northern part of Israel, down to Bethlehem. And, you know, Caesar Augustus issuing this decree, he's just working into the very plan of God,
yeah.
Unbeknownst to him.
Completely.
I mean, he was complicit to something he knew nothing about.
Yeah.
And yet his decree is what enabled all those prophecies to be fulfilled about Jesus being born in Bethlehem, and the fact that Bethlehem was where all the sheep really were raised and that sort of thing. It's also prophetic in the fact that Jesus is the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world.
Yeah. I love Paul's little piece of shorthand in Galatians, in the fullness of time. What had to happen across the whole known world for this event to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem? God knew what he was doing the whole time.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, Bob, we had a Bible study the other night, and they were discussing how could it be possible that he could be born of a virgin. I finally got tired of it, and I said, let me give you a demo. And there was this young man there, and I said, I want you to put your finger on your head, on your forehead, and repeat after me. I said, now say that there's never any room in the end for Jesus to be born. I said, now put your hand on your heart and say, he has to be born in the heart in a manger of grace in the center of your heart. And I think he got it.
Good deal. Well, that's a good illustration, Clay. And, you know, we think, humanly speaking, these things are impossible. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about human stuff, are we? We're talking about God's stuff.
We're not.
That's exactly right.
And it can't be birthed in what God calls an enmity to him. And I won't go to these places that want to get real heady about the scripture and stuff like that. Our job is just to proclaim it, and the rest is up to the Spirit of God that dwells within us or is soon to dwell within us.
Yeah,
you're exactly right. Well, Clay, thanks for your call today. As always, we greatly appreciate it. Love hearing from you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Clay.
Good hearing from y'all.
All right. Bye-bye.
Friends at Basic Gospel, we have a new resource by Bob Christopher. It's called The Basic Gospel Journey. It describes the journey of a lifetime, and we will send you a copy of it as you make your gift to help share the love, grace, and life of the Lord Jesus Christ with others. So please go online to basicgospel.net and just click donate to make your donation today and receive your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey. That's basicgospel.net. What a question from Jane. She says, I hear lots of pastors state that Christians should ask God to forgive their sin when they commit one. Jesus has already forgiven a past, present, and future sin, so shouldn't we just confess our sin instead of asking for forgiveness? It seems like asking forgiveness means Jesus has to be crucified over and over again, but Jesus stated, it's finished.
It is finished. He shed his blood once for all. When we receive him, we receive forgiveness of sins. Anyone who believes in the name of Jesus receives forgiveness of sins. That's something we receive at that moment of salvation. It's not something that we get kind of on an ongoing basis that is divvied out to it. Out to us, you know, with every sin. He just dumped it all on us, so we stand before God as forgiven people. Now, here's the key to all of this. In the book of Hebrews, the writer gives a very important truth, and we all need to embrace this and recognize it and stand on it. Park ourselves right on this verse. It's Hebrews 9:22. And it simply states this: without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So Jesus shed his blood one time for all sin. So when we come to him by faith, that forgiveness he provided 2,000 years ago becomes ours. And so there's not going to be any more shedding of blood. So if I needed more forgiveness, according to this passage, Jesus would have to die again. He would have to shed his blood again. He would have to lay down his life again. Well, he's not going to do that. That's why we don't need to ask for more forgiveness. We simply confess, agree with God concerning our sin, and recognize that Jesus has already dealt with it. And that's the cause for great joy and thankfulness in our hearts. If I think that he hasn't forgiven it, then obviously I'm going to think that he's mad at me. So now the whole thing is, what do I do to get him to stop being mad at me? So I call this the swivel chair theology. So I sin, God turns his back on me. Now what do I have to do to get him to turn back around? That's where we need to confess, we need to ask God to forgive us, and then hopefully he's going to turn that chair back around and he's going to look at us again.
I always hoped that he never would turn around. No. Yeah, that's okay.
I'm not sure I want to see that look.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter, he shed his blood once and for all. And he did that because he loved us to begin with. He was already looking at us. Even when we were yet sinners, Christ died. Mm-hmm. That was a demonstration of his love for us. He showed his great love for us in that he sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. So this act on the cross was compelled by the love of the Father, compelled by the love of the Son, compelled by the love of the Spirit. So it was love in action at the cross. So God has always had his face toward us.
Yes.
And we see that fully demonstrated there. And we realize that this love took away our sins once and for all, and that is cause for great rejoicing. Yeah. And even when I blow it, even when I sin, and I know I should be punished, I know that I should be whacked, I know that I should die for that sin, I have to recognize that Jesus took it once and for all, and that I stand before God as a forgiven person.
Absolutely. Well, friends, we love hearing from you. We love getting your questions and your comments about the message, about the broadcast, so we would love to hear from you. You can go to basicgospel.net/ask to pose your question in your own voice, or you can write your question at that particular website. That's our regular website, basicgospel.net, followed by a slash and the word ask. Remember also that the Basic Gospel journey begins and ends with Jesus Christ, and in between is the life-changing truth of the New Covenant, that we are no longer bound by rules and regulations, nor are we to live under a cloud of fear and guilt. In Christ we begin a new life, a life of freedom, faith, and rest. We have a brand new CD called The Basic Gospel Journey. It's by Bob Christopher that will encourage your walk with Jesus into the adventure of a lifetime. All you need to do to get yours is make a contribution to help us get this word out. Simply click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and receive your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And thank you in advance for your support of Basic Gospel. Well, that's it for this edition, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.